five students from Norwin High School with us. All are seniors, except for the first one that we're going to introduce you to. And what we'll do is first just sort of give you a chance to know who's in the room with me, and then we'll talk a bit about their project. And we'll start with you, Bree. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Bree, and I'm a junior at Norwin High School.
And anybody you'd like to acknowledge or say hello to?
I'll say hi to my mom, because I'm sure she's listening.
That's important.
Yeah, and then also, like, just for warning, like, I'm not sick. My voice is just gone. So, like, that's why I sound so weird.
Have you been having lots of fun yelling, screaming?
Yeah, I, like, went to, like, a show and just, like, yelled the lyrics.
Well, that's okay. You sound like you could be a cartoon character, right? With a voice like that. You sound fine. What show did you see?
So I was just like, it was a practice for my friends. All like, they're in bands, so I went and I just watched their practice for like a show that they're doing later today that I'm going to.
Oh, excellent. Just talking while a band is playing is enough to have you lose your voice, let alone shouting and cheering.
Yeah.
Nice to have you here. Let's meet who's sitting right to your left. Hi.
Hi, I'm Tegan. I'm a senior at Norwin High School, and I guess I'm going to say hi to my parents. I mean, I don't know if they're listening, but I'll definitely send them the link to listen to this later.
They'll hear it later. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Mm-hmm. And have you been yelling and screaming or anything?
No, not really. I feel like I'm more of like a mellow person usually.
Let's meet who's next to you. Hello.
Hi, I'm Emily Jemba. I'm a senior at Norwin High School, and I'd like to say hi to my family.
Nice to meet you. I like your colorful glasses. I've never seen glasses that colorful. There's sort of a rainbow in them. So really cool.
Thank you.
Let's pivot that microphone over and meet who's next to you.
Hi, I'm Radine, and I go to Norwin High School, and I would just like to say hi to my parents and my grandparents.
Nice to meet you, Nadine. And then we have...
I'm Hannah Jackson. I'm a senior at Norwin, and I'll say hi to my mom and my sister.
Wonderful. Well, it's great to have all of you here representing Norwin. And first thing we're going to do is talk about the project. Can anybody explain what it is or what the challenge was?
So the Fairchild Challenge is like, we have multiple challenges that are just based on sustainability. So some of them are more creative, like the Van Gogh postcard challenge we had. And then other ones are more like science and research based, such as a leaf project that some people did, like Hannah and Bree worked on. And so the one I think that we were referencing earlier was the postcard project. And so that one was about writing a letter and then creating a like image, like a piece of artwork about a place in nature that you like deeply connect with.
And this is like one of those iconic having a good time, wish you were here postcards that have been around forever. So you make the front of, well, first you pick a spot that you really like, and then you create art depicting it, I imagine using any method you care to. And then do you create text describing the art as well?
You were supposed to write a letter to a friend, and that was kind of the basis with what we were supposed to go with. I know my group based it off of Henry David Thoreau's Walden, and then wrote to just a friend that they were sharing a nature spot with.
Excellent. While we're talking to you, Hannah, tell me about who you worked with and what your piece ended up looking like.
So I worked with Radine, and we wanted to go with nature being timeless. So we had like, there's a waterfall and then a reflection of a clock inside. We wanted to go with that and just someone sharing that time with someone else, but also having that feeling of it being timeless.
And where is the waterfall that you picked?
Where did that end up being?
I think we did like Ohio Pal. And we kind of just took that in like different nature scenes and put them all together.
That's a great choice. There's Adams Falls near there. There's also a place where a lot of people get spring water coming out of an outcrop. And you use Thoreau as inspiration?
Yeah, I really liked his book when I read it last year, so we wanted to base it off of that.
How did you make the art?
So we had another girl in our group, and she is a really good artist. So she kind of just...
She's really good with painting. So we all have our own individual strengths within our group. Mm-hmm. So she's kind of our artist as well as Radine.
So the three of you all together did this, or were there some others?
There's some others, but they couldn't be here today, so.
That's okay. Do you want to acknowledge anybody?
Yeah, so it was Leah and
Leah Farouk, Chloe Davis, and Abby Davis.
Excellent. Well, that sounds like fun. Where is it now, the piece? Did you submitted it probably to the competition? Terrific. Who else? I think two of you worked on one, right?
Yeah, so Emily and I worked on one together, and we worked with Lily Jarose, but unfortunately she's like not here. So we did ours about Emily's butterfly garden. So Emily, I guess, can talk more about that in a bit. But
You have a butterfly garden?
Yeah, for my Girl Scout Gold Award project, I created a butterfly garden in our school's courtyard. And it was mainly meant to attract monarch butterflies and be a safe place for them to stop on their migrations. And there's a lot of different types of flowers there, such as butterfly bushes and coreopsis and things like that. And so, yeah, that's our spot that we picked in nature. And Tegan painted a butterfly that I'd taken a picture of earlier in the summer.
Yeah, and then I would say Lily, she helped a lot writing the letter. So ours was, we kind of made it into a love letter about how, like, love is, like, reflected in nature. And we compared it to, like, the life cycle of a butterfly and kind of how it starts, like, as a caterpillar and then goes into, like, the chrysalis mm-hmm. and then eventually comes out as, like, this, like, mature and, like, beautiful butterfly.
How beautiful. Mm-hmm. Does your butterfly garden work? Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
You don't think about things like that. But mm-hmm. whenever I see a butterfly garden and it's just filled with butterflies, it's like, what a difference. Like, who knew that by planting the right things, you could attract what you choose to attract?
Yeah.
We put out peanuts in our bird feeder, and the blue jays come as a result of that if the squirrels don't get them first. There's all orange slices sometimes attract different kinds of birds too. What a beautiful, I can picture that. You painted it, Hannah?
Tegan.
Or Tegan, I'm sorry. I forget you. That's Hannah. I always try to guess everybody's name and then I forget when I'm done. Tegan, you painted it.
Yeah.
And watercolors or oil, how did you do it?
I just like went with acrylic. It was like quite a small painting, actually. It was like only, I would say, like 4x6, but we ended up like matting it. And
nice.
I think, like, I guess it's more like quality over quantity, you know? Like, originally I did want to make a big one, but then, like, you know, it's just like time gets to you and stuff, so.
No, it's there's, you have so many things competing for your time. So, Bree, is there anybody else that worked on yours that we should acknowledge?
Just Lily.
Just
Lily Jarose.
Okay. And Bree, how about yours?
So our first project was one where our one partner, Angelina Baker, she wrote the letter, and we did ours based off of a picture that I took of, I think it was Chicago's, like, conservatory. So when I was there, and it was a bunch of flowers, and we decided that we were going to write a letter about just, like, spending time with someone in that area and, like, being able to appreciate time and nature with the person that, like, you, like, enjoy time with. And then we also did, like, our painting was one that Austin Keller did. He couldn't be here. He was supposed to be here, but, like, he couldn't be here now. So he actually painted it, and he based it off of, like, he tried to make it look like Van Gogh actually painted it. So he used his style, and it was very interesting to see.
And what was the subject? Was it a local place in his painting?
So we chose to do our painting off of, like, Chicago's. Like, that was, like, kind of, like, it was just a picture of a bunch of tulips, and I thought that it was really beautiful, and, like, the sun reflected in it, so I thought that it could really be somewhere. Like, I remember enjoying my time there. It's like, I wanted to kind of spread, like, what I felt.
That sounds beautiful. What brought you to Chicago?
So my mom's friend actually lives in Chicago because we lived in South Korea, and then her friend that she made in South Korea actually lives in Chicago now, so we went to visit her.
It's a great city, and that sounds beautiful. I'll bet Austin did a really good job with the painting, as he described it, if he did a Van Gogh style. So how did this activity... Did it make you think more about the environment at all? And anybody can jump right in.
So I think that it's really interesting that it's a way for teens to get involved, because I think especially when we're talking about sustainability and like climate action, we see a lot of teenagers who are active in that conversation. So I think it's nice to see on a local stand, seeing kids get more involved and like more educated on this topic.
I would say that I think like this kind of reminded me of like a project I did last year for school where I had to write an essay about like something I felt strongly about. And I talked about how kind of like with the internet nowadays, like people tend to think that they just want to like to see like beautiful things, and like to see nature, you really have to travel and like get out there and like go to the foreign countries. But we tend to neglect like all the like beauty in nature that is right before us and that is local. And so it kind of got me thinking about how like Pittsburgh, like sometimes we can take it for granted because we're all like, oh, like maybe like I know I always have this dream of like moving to New York. But really, like, this is a great city and this is a great area for nature and to enjoy those types of things. And we might just, like, take that for granted because you have this idea that, like, in order to really experience life and experience nature, you have to go out when really it's right here, like, at home.
I like what you said in addition to that about the kind of expectations the internet and social media can set up. You know, nobody takes a picture of their burnt dinner or their food getting left at the table because they didn't like it. We only see the best of everything, and it sets up these expectations that why aren't I having as good a time or eating something as good or in a beautiful place like this? It's not very realistic, is it? So to look at things that are natural and affirming is kind of a nice thing, I think. I'm curious about sustainability. There are people who may be wondering what that even is, and there are a lot of different definitions for it. Does anybody want to take a crack at just explaining sustainability from your own perspective, what it means to have a sustainable society?
I think like sustainability is really just not necessarily being like the most like eco-friendly person, but ensuring that we're going to have enough like resources on this planet for the long run to like sustain our population. And I feel like that's something important, especially with, you know, like the demographics is that like we're expected like to hit 10 billion soon. And just like thinking about like how we're going to feed all those people and like what the impact of like agriculture is, I feel like that's so strong, like especially in this area because we have a lot of localized farming. And so like that is very important to me. But I also think when thinking about sustainability, and especially in America, it's important to think about like the wealth distribution, and that sometimes living a sustainable lifestyle can be quite expensive. So like, for example, I always use this one. If you want like an electric car, like people who are surviving day to day really can't afford like that upfront cost. And so they're forced to live like an unsustainable lifestyle by having a normal like combustion engine, when in reality, it's like you're kind of forced into that situation. So I think when addressing sustainability, it's also really important to address that like some people really just can't afford to like foot the upfront cost of like investing in like nice things.
I also think that like sustainability, especially in the US, it's very difficult because we're currently not in a society that's meant to be sustainable, because that's just never been a part of our culture, because America runs on the concept of like convenience, and sometimes what's convenient is not always what's best for withstanding a population. So I also, something that I'm passionate about is like the fact that sustainability is just a series of choices that you can make throughout your life. Like, it's just choosing to go for a thrifted shirt over a, like, new one, necessarily. Like, one thing that I'm, like, my biggest thing is, like, sustainable fashion. Like, hopefully one day I can go and try and, like, do, like, a sustainable fashion line. Because one thing that, I always feel guilty whenever I go shopping, because, like, I'm giving into an industry that's, like, killing the environment. But at the same time, like, we're targeted by companies because we are the youth, and, like, they know that we are their, like, market, we're their audience. So I think that one thing, like, this year for Christmas, I asked for all, like, sustainable clothing. Like, I didn't ask for anything new. I asked for, like, upcycled clothing and, like, a book on sustainability rather than, like, just, like, getting gift cards for stores that, like, I know, like, don't do any good for the environment. So I think that one thing, like, just teens in general, I hope that we can advertise that, like, living a sustainable lifestyle is difficult, but it's one that can be chosen at a young age and kind of lived through when you're older.
Do you think that a lot of teens are starting to feel that way? Because there's a lot of pressure. Not only are we a society of convenience, we're a society of persuasion and consumerism and keeping up and purchasing. So it's hard. You're really fighting a trend, right?
Yeah. So actually, Tegan and I last night we were up to like 2 a.m. talking about this. We had like a serious like 3-hour talk on like just consumerism and like how it's taken over our lifestyles, and how we also see a lot of teens like choosing to stand up for what they believe in and fighting. Like at least like this year, Times Person of the Year was Greta Thunberg, and like to me that's really inspiring to see how like one person can do so much, especially when they're our age. Because I feel like I hear a lot from like just adults in my life that like it's easier to just kind of like go by and wait till you're an adult, or like you can't talk about the serious stuff until you're an adult. But then like once you get to being an adult, you're making the same mistakes that everyone else is, and it just kind of makes you feel guilty. So like I want to like try to like combat that now, and I think a lot of teens are doing that. Like I know that a few of us went to the climate strike, even the ones who aren't present here. Like we all just chose to go, and we actually got to meet like the girl who's like in charge of it. So it's really interesting. Yeah,
she was here not too long ago. Her name's escaping me.
Leandra.
Yeah,
Leandra. Yeah. She's so nice.
Yeah, she sure is. Have you heard the term retail therapy?
Yes.
I think like although a lot of people, especially like young teens, do want to live a sustainable lifestyle, I feel like going back to the wall thing, it's like so difficult. And even with like sometimes I think if you make an effort to buy sustainable, so like I always try to make an effort to buy sustainable. So buying from like clothing brands, like a big one is like Reformation. They are like a sustainable clothing brand, and they make sure that all their fabric is like dead stock fabric. Everyone's like paid fairly. But even that being said, then like the shipping process can be like unsustainable. And so like the supply lines in like America are just so long that it's like difficult to live that sustainable lifestyle, even if you make the effort. And then like you have companies like, I don't want to like call out like Forever 21, but like you can go there and buy a shirt that's like save the planet, even though that shirt was made with like unsustainable methods. And so it's kind of just like, I guess like, I don't want to say like false advertising, but it's just like, it's so difficult in like a society where like it's not really valued.
We've been conditioned to buy new things and to associate feeling good with having new things. And it's nice to see some resistance to that, I guess is the best way to put it. Let me turn to Hannah and Radine. We haven't talked as much as we have. Do you have anything you'd like to add to what we've been chatting about?
Going back to like retail therapy, I know personally I've been trying to buy fair trade items as well. Like we sell fair trade coffee at school for our AP environmental class, as well as Envirothon, which is a club that's based on different challenges and competitions where you talk about forestry and aquatics and just being more aware of nature and advocating for it. So I just bought a Christmas present for my mom that was fair trade from Nicaragua, and it was really nice. It was a great price, and I think it's nice knowing that someone out there is getting like a fair wage and they're getting paid for their work, rather than some places like Forever 21 and things like that.
Yeah, it's great. It's so that's a different kind of retail therapy, right? You feel good about a purchase that you're making. I know I try to get a lot of things fixed instead of buying new things, and I always say I'd rather put, you know, money in the pocket of somebody who knows how to fix this. Sometimes it's cheaper to buy something new, but if it can be fixed, I'd rather see that, because even though I don't have to pay for it directly, I think about societal costs of having to dispose of something or having to actually make something. And unfortunately, the way we do accounting for those things, we don't feel it as much as maybe we should. You looked like you were going to add something, Radine.
So I know where we live, like many years ago, it used to be a lot of farmland. And through maps and stuff, you could see that like our neighborhoods are just growing bigger. And a lot of people don't realize that like the construction materials and how much they hurt our environment. And I know like there's the big neighborhoods, like so much garbage, and people don't like really recycle. I know like where I live, like they don't recycle. So I think like if we introduce more things like that, that could really help our environment.
Yeah, and even coming up with ways that you don't generate waste. Mm-hmm. To begin with. When I mentioned earlier being in Finland earlier in the year, and I wasn't really thinking about it, but the concept of, you know, having a bag for your groceries, for a moment, the person at the cash register and I sort of looked at each other and I realized, oh, that doesn't happen here. You know, I'm just going to be given the box of what I just bought, or I should have brought a bag with me. I bought a reusable bag because I didn't have one and we're still reusing it. Gosh, our time's gone by so quickly. If you're just joining us, these students are all from Norwin High School. I'm curious, you're all seniors, with the exception of Bree, but do you have plans for the year after you graduate? Or in Bree's case, I'm curious if you're thinking of what you might want to do, and I'll start with Bree.
Okay. I do have, like, I'm very involved in Model UN, as many, like, a lot of us are. And it kind of opened my eyes up to the possibility of pursuing international relations and human rights as a career. But I've also been starting to think about, like I mentioned earlier, sustainable fashion and just double majoring in like fashion and sustainability and kind of trying to find a way to like connect the two. So that's really like just my plans.
Excellent. Well, I think these days you can have multiple careers in parallel or in series depending on what you want to do. Tegan, what do you think?
So something I really like have always thought about is I really wanted like a job in like the creative industry, but also it's important to think about, since sustainability is something I value, that like making like art or something can be really like unsustainable. Like acrylic paint is just made out of like straight plastics. And so like a school like I really think about wanting to go to is like Parsons, which is in New York, where they really value sustainability. And but like even if that's like not like feasible, I know, like, I think, like, Chatham, like, here in Pittsburgh has, like, such an amazing, like, environmental program with, like, Rachel Carson. Like, I love Rachel Carson. I think she's, like, such an icon. And, yeah, I just think I'd want to go into something where it's, like, sustainability to kind of, like, an innovative way to make it more accessible to people. Because I think people want to choose an environmentally sound, like, lifestyle, but it's just not, like feasible for everyone.
Emily?
Well, I really love science, but I don't think I'm actually going to be studying that next year. And even though I'm going to, like, hopefully continue to live a sustainable lifestyle, I think I want to major in history, minor in Spanish next year.
How come history? That's really interesting.
Since I was little, my parents would take me to various historical sites throughout, like, the East Coast, and we would go there during the summer, and I don't know, for some reason it just, like, really interested me. And I'd like to continue that and maybe, like, share that knowledge with others.
I think it's great. You can learn a lot. And do you like to write?
Sometimes. Depends on what the subject is.
There's a lot of writing in history. A lot of reading, too. Let's see what Raydeen's thinking about.
So in the fall, I'll be heading to La Roche for an interior design program.
Excellent. That's good to hear. And then, Hannah, you're going to finish up.
And then, like Emily, I do enjoy my science classes, and I hope to live a sustainable life, but I'm hoping to go into business and then law.
Wow. You all have bright futures. Is there anything, our time is up, but is there anything any of you wanted to say that you didn't get a chance to say?
I just want to thank our advisor, Ms. Sturm, for getting us this opportunity. I'm just very grateful for her.
Yeah. And my environmental teacher, Mrs. Machoni. I think she's inspired a lot of us to really look into our own, like, carbon footprint and the impact that we're making on the world right now.
Also, thank you for inviting us to come onto the show today.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much. These students are all from Norwin High School. Thank you for being with us, representing the Fairchild Challenge.